find. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the body of Jesus broken so we might be whole. We thank you for that blood of Jesus shed so that we might be forgiven. Oh, let us never forget the depth and the breadth and the width of your love demonstrated in what Jesus has done for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated. And at this time, we're going to dismiss grades 1 through 6. They're going to go out through the fellowship hall with Ted and Basie and those that are helping him. And we're going to get into the Word of God for a few moments here this morning. If you have a set of notes, you should have a set of notes that are entitled Leaving the Baggage Behind. Leaving the Baggage Behind. And also with the date today of January 2nd, 2011, lower left-hand corner. And so if you do not have a set of notes for today, if you lift your hand up real high, we'll make sure that you get a set of notes. Did we miss anybody at all? Anybody at all did not get a set of notes. All right, we've got it covered. Let's pray and let's ask God, because we're going to, I don't plan on taking a lot of time in this word, because we want to have a call for prayer. We want to see who may want prayer and just start off this new year, this first Sunday of this new year, with people being prayed for who need to be prayed for. I think we all could use it. Amen. But let's get into it. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor. We thank you again for your word. We thank you for just energizing us by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father God, for alert minds, attentive hearts, Father God. Thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding to the Word of God and helping us see precious truths from your Word like we've never seen before. We thank you and believe you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have a Bible with you, if it opened up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you do not have a Bible with you, I think one of our ushers could make sure that you get a Bible. If you lift your hand up high, anybody need a Bible? All right, we got a couple of guys that would need a Bible, and so I'll tell you when to raise it up again as soon as they get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we want to begin. And right up here front, our brother Kamal needs a Bible. Victor, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to begin here. And this is going to be our text. As I've already mentioned, our title for this morning's message. In fact, why don't we put it on the big screen? If you don't mind, up there we'll put the title. Today's message, Leaving the Baggage Behind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a very familiar passage to many of us. I'm talking and not turning it like I need to, but I'll get there in a minute. 2 Corinthians, did you know that that comes right after 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Notice what Paul said by the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Say, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody here in Christ today? Say, I'm in Christ. Say, I'm a new creation. Say, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. That needs to become a reality to us. Look up on the big screen. We see it from another version of the Bible. The Message Bible reads this way. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. Amen. How about you? I love that idea, don't you? Amen. We're going to talk about leaving the baggage behind, though, because there's some things that I want to encourage you this morning to leave behind in 2010. As we approach 2011, let's leave some things behind. There's some things that you need to just leave back there so that you can press on to where God wants you to be. Amen. Amen. I know that's true for each and every one of us. We're going to skip the introduction and go right on to this because basically I've already said what the introduction tells us. But in Roman numeral number 2, notice in your notes, what's in your bag? We're talking about baggage. And you know, even in the natural, there's a lot of different kind of baggage. You know, my wife carries a purse and it looks more like a suitcase, but it's a purse. And you know, she can carry just a few things that get her by for that immediate need and whatever. And that's a form of baggage in the natural realm. And then, you know, there's the carry-on bags, the carry-ons that you might take on a plane. They carry a few more things to take care of life and whatever. And you know, a lot of useless useless things, I'm sure as well, are carried in these things. And then we have a suitcase and what have you. A suitcase just kind of, you know, it weighs, it's heavy, it's harder to travel with, isn't that right? I remember when I went to Portugal for the first time, I had to take all the books I possibly could. I had a suitcase that was so full of books, the guy that was checking it in couldn't hardly even lift it up. Those were different days when it wasn't as necessary that the weight was right. And so, man, I'll tell you, though, it was a heavy burden. How many of you know you can't move as fast when you got heavy things to carry? Amen? Amen. And so we're talking about some things this morning having to do with baggage in a negative way that will cause you not to go on your journey as quickly and as well and as sufficiently as God would have you to. And how many of you would understand that we are all in a journey in life, aren't we? We are in a journey, and this Christian journey is to be an adventure. This Christian journey is to be exciting. Not to say there won't be problems, not to say there won't be difficulties, but I submit to you that it's God's will that our journey with Him be an exciting journey. Amen? An exciting journey. What could be more exciting than having the living God dwelling on the inside of us? What could be more exciting than the fact that we are new creations in Christ and that old things have passed away, all things have become new? What could be more exciting than praying and see God heal people, set people free? What could be more exciting than a Christian life lived for Him? Amen? In fact, if you remember, some of you may know this, the word enthusiasm, did you know that that word enthusiasm means basically to be filled with God? To be filled with God. And so those who are filled with God ought to have some enthusiasm. What's in your bag? Letter A, definition of baggage. Number one, the word, as we well know, has symbolic meaning in our culture as we speak of a person who has personal baggage in their life, saying things such as, I have a lot of baggage. Some people take pride in that. Would you agree with that? Some people say, well, I got a lot of baggage. They almost take pride in having a lot of baggage. I desire today, and I believe the Spirit of God desires today, that we get rid of this baggage stuff. And when some tries to latch itself on us, we just command it to go and don't allow baggage to jump back on you again. Are you hearing me? All right, notice now number two, baggage in this symbolic meaning. Baggage consists of hurts, things, objects, personal habits, circumstances, and beliefs that get in the way. And so when we're talking about baggage in our context, we're talking about stuff that gets in the way of our journey with God. And as we enter into 2011, and as we determine that we're going to go on further in our journey with God, I would propose to you that we identify and reject and get rid of anything that might get in our way in order to continue our journey victoriously. Amen? And so when we say what's in your bag, we could ask the question, what is in your way? What in your life is in your way? What in your life is keeping you back? What in your life is keeping you from fulfilling the destiny that God has for you? All of a sudden it got quiet, but it should, right? Because we're thinking. Number three, baggage in your notes. Baggage is something from the past that continues to weigh you down, such as bad experiences, unresolved issues, and mistakes. Something from your past that's holding you back. How many of you know if something in your past is holding you back, it's not really just in your past, it's in your present, isn't it? If it's affecting you today, something that happened in your past, then it is not just in your past. You have brought it into your present, and you're going to carry it into your future unless you allow God to deal with that thing in your life. Amen? God wants us free. God wants you free. In fact, from His perspective, He's already made you free. From His perspective, you are free. Amen? But we need to walk in that freedom and appropriate that freedom that He has for us. And it's an ongoing thing. It's part of fighting that good fight of faith. But I want to ask you today to be determined in this year to fight that good fight of faith. There may be things lingering in your life, hindrances, things you've stumbled in, and all of that that have kept you back. God has a great future for you, and it's only you that can keep it from coming to pass. Amen. People say often, and we'll get this in a minute. We're going to do these notes. But people say oftentimes, you know, well, you know, the devil did this, the devil did that. Forget about the devil. Your worst problem is not the devil. The worst problem you have is you. That was an underwhelming response, but let's go on. Roman number three, what baggage are you carrying? A, baggage can be identified as those areas in our life that are unresolved. What's unresolved in your life? Pushed underneath and hidden. They're a great hindrance to our spiritual health and our destiny. I'm going to go through these things, this first page, fairly quick because we want to get to that second page. Notice examples of excess baggage. Letter A deep wound that is never healed. And we're talking about inner wounds, aren't we? We're talking about wounds of the heart, if you will. Letter B, a broken heart. A broken heart. Letter C, a ruined relationship. A ruined relationship. And I think that all of us have had opportunity, and maybe there's some here today that have a relationship that's been ruined. That you know, you hear of people that have not spoken with a parent for years, or a sibling, or something like that. I maybe know that's not of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And something's wrong. Something has to happen there. I'm not saying that you need to put yourself in a position where they'll hurt you in a physical way or anything like that. And there's always qualifiers to some of these things of which I can't all cover them all. But the point is this, that God doesn't want ruined relationships. Amen? And so we go on. Letter D, a hidden moral sin can be baggage in one's life, a hidden moral sin. Letter E, an addiction, obviously. F, uncontrolled anger. G, feeling unloved. A lot of people feel unloved today. They don't feel appreciated, and they're suffering from it, and there's this baggage lingering and all of this stuff. Sometimes they reached out and they dared to love before, and it's like they got so wounded, now they're afraid to love again. Something's wrong with that. That's baggage that needs to be left behind, right? Letter H, overly dependent on others is baggage. When you're overly dependent on others. Letter I, unforgiveness, which is a big one we deal with often. Unforgiveness. J, unbearable emptiness. People feeling so empty, feeling like there's no meaning to life. I don't understand how believers, Christians, can have that feeling, but I know that it happens. They have no sense of meaning in life. That ought not to be so for a believer. You ought to have more meaning in your life than any person on the face of the earth. You ought to have more of a sense of purpose than anybody. Isn't that right? If you're not, you ought to go witness to somebody. Yeah, you ought to get out there and pick the worst looking sinner you can and just share with them and don't care what they think. Amen? Oh, get some sense of purpose. God has a purpose for you. God has meaning for your life. Amen? And so going on with this then, that J is unbearable emptiness. K, a nagging guilt and shame. A nagging guilt and shame. How many of you know if old things have passed away and all things have become new, would you not concur with me? That includes this idea of feeling guilty over sin that's been washed by the blood. Do you know in John chapter 3 and verse 16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you know that one? Amen. But then verse 17 says what? Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? And so he didn't send his Son to condemn you. He didn't send his Son to condemn me. Amen? He didn't send him to do that. He sent the Son of God in order that we might be delivered, set free, made a well, if you will, in all respects and in every regard. Isn't that right? To bring wholeness to you and me. Sometimes people have this idea, well, you know, it's the church's fault that I feel guilty about this sin. And, you know, they blame the church. They blame, you know, a Victorian age type of mentality and whatever. But how many of you know that's such a farce? If you carry that thought all the way through, you have this idea, well, then that person who's in prison for murder, it's our fault that we said murder is wrong. Because if murder wasn't wrong, or if we wouldn't tell him murder was wrong, he wouldn't feel so guilty about having murdered somebody. Does that seem ridiculous to you? So in other words, we shouldn't have any parameters, any boundaries in regard to how we live or how we treat other people, whatever, because if we do, then we're legalistic and we cause people to have shame or guilt. And so therefore, we live in an anarchy and nobody has any boundaries, no rules, and every man for himself. How many of you know that kind of system does not work? Are you following my reasoning on this?
All right? But yet, on the other hand, through the blood of Jesus, you and I ought to be free from a sense of guilt. He brought the Holy Spirit to convict us, but not to condemn us. Conviction points out areas of our life that need correction, but there's always a sense of hope. Now, condemnation, though, points out what's wrong and what we're doing wrong, but there's hopelessness. There's a sense I'm judged and I'm going to be punished without any sense of hope. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you and me as believers never brings a hopelessness, but always will point out areas that need to be repented of with a sense of hope and a sense that you can receive the victory over that thing in your life. Isn't that right? Amen? Amen. All right, so going on, a nagging guilt and shame. Letter L, confused sexuality. How many of you know that people get confused over their sexuality today, don't they? It's always been, but it seems more rampant today, where people who are into homosexuality, they have baggage, don't they? They have areas, issues in their lives, a variety of reasons why people believe that people go in that direction, same-sex attraction, whatever, but nevertheless, whatever it is, it's still baggage, it's still inward hurts, and people can be set free from it, can't they? Amen. People say, well, you know, even churches today, some of them, the liberal ones, they want to say homosexuality is all right. Well, number one, they don't know their Bible. Number two, they don't understand why God said it's wrong. He didn't say it's wrong just to get his kicks out of telling you something's wrong. He said it's wrong because he knows how human beings are made up, and he knows it's going to scar you and it's going to hurt you. It's going to cause more wounds on the inside of your emotions than what you could ever imagine. And God loves you too much to say it's okay. Are you hearing me here today? It's not a matter of hating homosexuals. It's a matter of loving homosexuals so much to let them know it's hurting you. But there's freedom available through Jesus Christ. Amen. Freedom available. Hallelujah. Amen. And so confused sexuality will bring baggage into one's life. Letter M, unstable emotions can be in a whole array of things. And then N, rejection. How many of you know he was despised and rejected of men? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was wounded for yours and my transgression. He was rejected so you could be accepted. And also, he took rejection so that you could be free from those feelings and wounds that rejection bring. Don't you believe that? Roman numeral number 4, three ways people tend to deal with their baggage. Letter A, they ignore the inner pain. How many of you know ignoring it never helps anything? To ignore the pain is to put off the reality of dealing with the problems. 2, nothing changes by ignoring it, does it? B, underneath that, some people decide it is what they are and make it a part of their identity. They live a life of constant torment because of the pain and the hurt. And so they just kind of, instead of ignoring it, they accept it. They say, well, this is who I am. And I kind of alluded to that earlier when I said to you there are some people that take almost a pride in their baggage. They love their baggage. They identify with their baggage. It's what they've made to be themselves. But you that are in Christ, if we're in Christ, we need to identify with what he says we are and who he says we are and what he says we have. When we know who we are in Christ, it'll set us free. Because it's not a matter of who your parents said you were or who you might have thought you were or who your classmates thought you were or what you were or anything else. It doesn't matter what anybody else said. It matters what God thinks and who he says you are. He says that you are more than a conqueror through Christ's love. He says that you're an overcomer. He says that you, as we read, are a new creation in Christ. He says that the mind of Christ is available to you. He says that by the stripes of Jesus, you are the healed of the Lord. He says you are delivered from the powers of darkness and transferred into God's kingdom. He said that you are a royal priesthood. You are a treasured people to show forth the virtues of him that called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's what he says that counts. Amen? Are you hearing me here today? Amen? Praise God for that. It'll set you free when you begin to really get it into as to what he says and who he says and identify with that. Letter C, here's ways people tend to deal with their baggage. They ignore it or they identify with it. Or letter C, those with the courage. This is what we want to be. We want to be those with the courage to face their baggage and by the power of God overcome. It's time to face our baggage, amen? Do you ever notice people that are carrying baggage, and all of us have, and maybe all of us are to a certain extent, and maybe it's an ongoing part of our growth and what have you, but you know, somewhere along the line, we got to make a demarcation. We got to draw the line. We got to say, you know what, no more, amen? And we'll always have opportunities to gather more baggage and whatever, but do you ever notice that sometimes when people have baggage, They become almost an attraction to more baggage. The very baggage they have causes them to be hurt more by the smallest thing, and by being hurt more by the smallest thing, they gather more baggage. Baggage attracts baggage. Isn't that weird? You doing all right today? All right, let's go on. Roman numeral number 5. How did the baggage arrive? Well, you know, there's a lot of ways the baggage can arrive, and these are real generalities, but by life experiences, right? Joseph is a prime example. He could have had bitterness, unforgiveness toward his brothers because of all that they did for him. But he chose to forgive, didn't he? I mean, he is quite an example of someone who had ample opportunity to have all sorts of baggage, rejected by people that were supposed to love him, his own brother, sold into slavery, no less, and then lied about, cheated about, thrown into prison unjustly, and all these various things. But you know what? Because he kept his heart right, because he didn't let baggage get out. How many of you know that his destiny was great because he didn't let the baggage of the life's experiences come upon him? Isn't that right? Amazing thing with Joseph. David is another example. I mean, Saul tried to kill him more than once and all these various things. And then Ruth. Oh, God bless Ruth. Lost her husband. Her husband died. No doubt felt like an outsider with Naomi, her mother-in-law. But yet she stuck with her mother-in-law and said, her God's going to be my God, even though Ruth was not a Jew. And your God's going to be my God. And lo and behold, what she do? She meets a man. And that man's a man by the name of Boaz. And Boaz becomes her kinsman redeemer. And therefore, she becomes an ancestor in the natural of the Lord Jesus Christ in that line. Isn't that amazing? Ruth's destiny was there because she didn't let baggage keep her back. Let her be. Another way that baggage can arrive is could have arrived because of your adversary, the devil, obviously. Job is a prime example. People say, well, why'd God do that to Job? It doesn't say God did it. It says the devil did it. There's a whole lot of theology and all of that we don't have time to get into. And then Paul. How about Paul? It says there, and people talk about his thorn in the flesh. God gave it to him. It doesn't say that. It says it's a messenger of Satan to buffet him. A messenger, it's the same Greek word for the word angel. An angel of Satan was sent. And it tells us not only what it is, it's a demonic or a satanic angel, but it also tells us where it came from. It came from Satan. It was not a messenger of God, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And God said, my grace is sufficient. That's another way of saying, Paul, I've done it all for you. You take care of that thing in Jesus' name. A lot of things pertaining to that. But again, Paul, his adversary, there was an adversary trying to stop him from preaching the gospel. No doubt about that. Let's go on to letter C. Our baggage could have arrived due to poor decisions, which have hard consequences. Anybody here ever made a poor decision? Amen. We all have, haven't we? We've all made mistakes in our decision making and what have you. And sometimes it was mistakes that we knew better, but we did it anyway. Other times it was mistakes that were just honest mistakes. We just missed it, right? We've all missed it, haven't we? That's our human side. That's humanity, isn't that right? We miss it at times. But thank God for His grace. Thank God that even though we make poor decisions, that again, thank God His blood can not only wash us from the past and has, but His blood washes now. Isn't that right? Thank God for that, right? And so sources of how that baggage may arrive. Part of that I give Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. By this many will be defiled. And so a part of that is making a choice to receive bitterness, to be bitter, to be unforgiving, to all these things. Choices that we make can bring us baggage into our life. All right, let's wrap this up. Roman numeral number 6, our responsibility in getting rid of our baggage. We have a responsibility as Christians. We have a responsibility to get rid of this baggage. Amen? Notice letter A, you must face the truth. I'm encouraging you in this new year, face the truth. Face the truth of the baggage that might be in your life. Amen? You know, people have hurt you. Join the club. People have hurt us all. Isn't that right? I'm not trying to minimize your hurt, but people have hurt everybody. And we have a choice whether to carry that hurt further in our lives or not. We have a choice as to whether or not we're going to let the people that hurt us keep hurting us by keeping us from fulfilling our destiny in God. Amen? Because chances are the people that have hurt us in the past, they're going on their life, their merry way. Isn't that right? And so you know what? Let's not let them keep us from fulfilling our destiny, because we won't get over that and forgive and let go of any bitterness that's in our lives. Amen? Or whatever the case may be. But again, this idea of you must face the truth. It can't be denial. James 5 and verse 16 says this: confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need to confess. We need to understand those things. Now, it does mention in that, I've put it in there, that sometimes you do need to talk to somebody. Somebody that you can trust. And how many of you know that's hard to come by sometimes? Amen. All right, let's go on with this about denial. Number one, denial can be a form of self-deception, can it? When we deny, oh, I don't have any bitterness. I don't have, but yet on the inside, you know whether you're still carrying things. Nobody else can tell you unless the Holy Spirit shows them, and the Holy Spirit's only going to show other people if it's there to help you. Isn't that right? Amen. Don't go for these people that say, oh, well, God showed me this or that about you or whatever. You know, just forget about that. If they're being told that by God not to hurt you with it. They're being told that by God in order to help you overcome it. Isn't that right? And so if they're hurting you with it, it wasn't from God. And so just reject them as far as receiving what they have to say. Amen. And then so going on, denial can be a form of self-deception. Letter A, we deceive ourselves. Here's some things from Scripture. When we hear the word and don't do it, we are deceiving ourselves, the Bible says. We deceive ourselves when we say we have no sin. When we do, we're deceiving ourselves, right? We're deceiving ourselves. The third thing is when we think we won't reap when we've sowed, what we've sown. In other words, we know from Galatians 6 and verse 7 that don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Isn't that right? He said, don't be deceived. All these scriptures have to do with don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, because you will reap what you've sowed. And then the last one, when we think we are being deceived, when we think bad company can't corrupt us. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, don't be deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived, right? And so we can be deceived. Letter B, going on. We're talking about our responsibility and getting rid of our baggage. Letter B, accept your responsibility in the matter. Even if it's a result, and I'll read it, if you are damaged emotionally because you were sinned against, you still have a responsibility in how you let it affect you today. Amen? Through Christ, you have the power. And that's not, again, to minimize the fact somebody did something to you. I understand that that has to have a deep hurt and a deep wound, but I also submit to you that God, in His grace and His love and His power, as you commit that to Him, as you turn that over to Him, I believe He can help you let it go. And again, I say this, if you let something go, if you forgive people, you're not saying what they did is all right. Amen? Sometimes, and I have to repeat it because I know there's always other people here that haven't heard it said, and then we need to hear it again and again sometimes, that when you forgive, you're not saying what they did is okay. Any more than when God forgave you, He was saying what you did is okay. That's not what God meant when He forgave, is that right? He didn't say your sin was okay when He forgave you. He said, I forgive you because that's part of my nature. That's my grace. I'm going to forgive you because my Son took the punishment and the judgment for you so that your sin might be washed. Isn't that right? He wasn't saying it was okay. He was saying, I forgive you because I love you. And then with that, He empowers us to do better, doesn't He? Yeah. Amen. And so when you forgive, you're not saying what they did is okay. You just chose to live the God way and to forgive with the power of the forgiver on the inside of you. Amen. All right, so accept your responsibility in the matter. Letter C, ask yourself if you want to be free. Again, sometimes people don't want to be. I give the reference, John 5:6. That's talking about the man at the pool of Bethesda. And remember, all the people gathered around there waiting for the stirring of the waters, because once in a while an angel came down, stirred the water. Whoever was the first one in the pool got healed. And I can't claim to understand all of that. All I know is God, by His mercy, was providing healing for those that would receive it. Amen? But Jesus approached that man at the pool of Bethesda, and He said, do you want to be healed? Sometimes people apparently don't want to be healed. Isn't that right? And so we have to ask ourselves, do we want to be well? Do we want to be free? Do we want to be free of the baggage, all that junk, all that garbage that we've been carrying around? Do we want to be free? Letter D, you must forgive. You must forgive. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Don't blame God. Amen? The failure to receive God's unconditional love and forgiveness and give out unconditional love and forgiveness to others is probably the number one reason for baggage in our lives. Letter E, know that if you're going to lay hold of your future, you're going to have to let go of your past. Philippians 3:12 through 15. Look up on the big screen because of time's sake. I was going to turn there. But look up on the big screen. See how the New Living Translation says this. It says it this way. I don't mean to say, Philippians, this is 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things. That's Paul speaking. Or that I've already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. He's saying, amongst other things, he's saying, in order to reach forth, you've got to let go. In order to press forward, you've got to forget. You've got to let those things go. Amen? And so the past will keep you from your future. If there's no other motivation for you and me to let go of that past, to let go of the handles of our baggage, if there's no other reason, it ought to be that reason, that it's going to keep our future from being what God would have our future be. Amen? How about you? I want the future God wants for me. And because I want the future God wants for me, I want to let go of every bit of baggage. Any baggage that tries to jump on me, anything that tries to happen, that tries to get me having ill will or whatever the case may be, I want to get rid of that right away because I want the future that God has for me. Amen? Amen? All right. And then letter F, know you have the right to be free. Jesus came to restore the whole man. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Luke 4 and verse 18. Look up at the big screen. Luke 4. This is verses 18 and 19 from the Amplified Bible. Jesus is speaking. Notice why he came. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The anointed one, the Messiah, preached the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives. He is still the releaser of the captives today. He has come to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Now, applying this in a different way, I want to submit to you this. When you have baggage in your life, how many of you know you've become blinded? Baggage will blind you. Baggage will steal your vision. Baggage will steal your dream. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus came, and I know this applies physically, it applies spiritually, but I believe it applies in many different ways. There's one interpretation to every scripture and possibly many applications, and one thing I would submit to you is this, that baggage will blind you and keep you from seeing what God wants you to see. He says, to announce release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. There may be those of you here today, and you've been downtrodden, you've been bruised, you've been crushed, you've been broken down by calamity. Jesus came in order that you might be free from that oppression in your life. Then he goes on to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Aren't you glad that with God there's favor? Say, I've got favor with God. Notice as we finish this off, Roman numeral number 7, the power and grace of Jesus Christ is present and available now. Letter A, he is still anointed and empowered to set you free. And I want us to close, and I'd like the worship team to come, but go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. If the worship team would come, Luke chapter 5, we're going to finish this up. I'm going to give you this last blank, if I can, in the bottom of your notes. To benefit, first I said this, the power and grace of Jesus Christ is present and available now. Everybody said now. I want to propose to you and submit to you this, that the power and grace of Jesus Christ is available right now here. His power is here. His grace is here. Letter B, though, it reads, to benefit from his power and grace, you must have faith. You must have faith. Faith in what? Faith in his power. Faith in his grace. Look at Luke chapter 5, and let's just look at this quickly, and then we're going to have a call for prayer. In Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, I want to point out a couple of things here. Is everybody doing all right? That sounded like more of a grumble than an amen, but that's all right. Luke 5, verse 17, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching. That's Jesus. Jesus was teaching. that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Notice the last sentence. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, in the context of this passage, who is the them the power of the Lord was present for? The Pharisees, isn't that right? The Pharisees were there, and the teachers of the law, they were sitting by, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their what? Their faith. He said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. There's a lot of things we can see in that. First of all, remember, he was there teaching the Word of God. As he was teaching the Word of God, it says there were Pharisees and teachers of the law, and it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. How many of you know, though, those Pharisees and teachers of the law apparently were not even aware of the power of the Lord present to heal? They were not aware. Did you know the power of the Lord can be present to heal and no one be aware of the power of the Lord that's present to heal? Some of you may be thinking, well, I don't feel the power of the Lord present to heal. Neither did the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They didn't feel anything, but yet the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal. Isn't that right? But yet not everyone was aware. Not everyone was aware. I submit to you, Jesus is in the house. He's always here when we're gathered together in his name. Amen. And so when Jesus is in the house, how many of you know the power of the Lord is present to heal, to deliver, to set people free? Not just physically, as was the context with that, but in any area. Because he came, as we read in Luke chapter 4, he came to heal the broken in heart. He came to heal those that are crushed and bruised and broken, and those that have suffered by way of calamity or whatever the case may be. He came to heal, and he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I'd like you to just stand with me, if you will. And if you're here today, first of all, the first thing I want to mention to you is this, that if you are here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want you to know that he loves you with such a love that you cannot even imagine. I want you to know that he died and took your punishment for your sin on the cross, and you have sinned. You've broken God's law. Every human being on earth has broken the law of God except for one, and that was the God-man Jesus Christ, who came free from sin, but yet took your sin, your punishment for that sin, so that you could be forgiven. And I want you to know that that is part of that baggage that you can be free of today. That baggage of not having forgiveness initially and making Jesus the Lord of your life. And then those of you that already know him, what's holding you back from your future? I don't know, but you know. You know what might be holding you back. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's unforgiveness, bitterness. Maybe it's even hatred, possibly, that's come against you toward other people. I don't know what it is. It could be an array of things. But if you'd like us to pray together with you today, let's pray together. Let's start off this new year and by faith leave the baggage behind so that we can reach out for our future, because God has a bright future for everybody. Amen. Say, my future's bright. My future's bright. Old things have passed away. All things have become new because I'm a new creation. Amen. If you'd like prayer before we go today, I want you to come. They're going to lead us in a song. You can pray with us from your seat. You can pray for others as they come. Or you can, worship God. Or you can come. I would suspect almost everybody could use some prayer. But we've got help to pray for you today. And so as they sing, come and let's pray. Let's leave the baggage behind. Amen. In Jesus' name, whatever it might be. Let's go. Hallelujah. Come on up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus.